there.
And there's Paradise Springs. There's an old trout running pond, and there's some springs come up. So I went up with them in the morning, and the little girl had to go to the bathroom. I said, we'll go to the ranger station. I want to get a sticker for the year. We got there, and she went in with her mother, and I was going to take the little boy. He says, I already took care of it. I said, what do you mean you took care of it? Well, I'm feeding my fans.
Thought maybe you watered a bush?
No. Mm-hmm. No, we were in a car. No. It's an open meeting.
Oh, right.
Even if we wanted to exclude people, we can't. So I think down there, we'll call the meeting in order. We have a quorum, and we'll have a roll call. We have Supervisor Kalinske is excused. Everyone else is here. And now we have our two new youth and governance. So Rick Dodge is going to introduce them.
Yeah, Mike called, said he's not going to be here and apologized. I think he talked to you. He asked if I'm a mentor for two other youth in government, if I would introduce you. I know you got Peter Wierzba.
Wierzba,
okay. John Setter Jr.
Yep.
And I don't know if the chair wants you to say a few words about yourself. And everybody introduce himself or not, that's up to Dennis.
Yeah, I think what I'll do is, normally there's more people here. What we've got is some other meetings going on tonight. So we've got a couple of the lead people that would be giving us updates on what you are here for is highways, parks, golf, and facilities. Now, facilities, I'm sure that's been explained to you, that's all the buildings that the county owns, which would be this one we're sitting in, it would be the Kemper Center, it would be the courthouse, it would be any campus that the county owns. So we'll be, you'll hear reports on that this evening, and you'll hear reports, throughout your tenure here on the golf and everything else. So we have people that are in charge of all those departments. Mr. Sipsma, he's not here this evening. We have Dan Dreyer, who is in charge of our golf department. Ron Henning, who will be reporting on facilities. John Rudy, who is in charge of our parks department. And for the county board people that are here, you've met Mr. Skaliski. He's your mentor. Rick Dodge, I'm Dennis Elberman, I'm the chairman. Doug Noble, County Board Supervisor, and Mr. Nudo, who is also County Board Supervisor. And we welcome you. How we will operate here will be under Robert's Rules of Orders, where it's a little bit more liberal here at a committee meeting than it is on the county board, where everything comes through the chairman. If you have comments on anything that comes up, there'll be a period where we'll discuss an item. And sometimes we'll ask for a motion on something. When that's happening, you can raise your hand. You're addressed by the chair. You speak. You give your opinions, give your ideas on things. You will vote on everything here. But unfortunately, those votes are different than the committee members' votes because they count as advisory. But we really want your input and really appreciate it when you would speak up. And there's going to be a lot of interesting things because there's a broad base on this committee when you include highways, parks, golf. Facilities is really huge now because it's every building, every piece of property the county owns. So you'll find it, I hope, very interesting, and we look forward to your input. Okay, so
well, thank you.
Don't be afraid to raise your hand and ask questions. it's pretty easy going here. So, yes, sir.
Off the bat, like, does county buildings, does that include public schools, or is that a state thing?
No.
Okay.
Public schools are all owned by the local municipalities.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're in Kenosha, you know, that's owned by the city.
Okay.
And when you get into Pleasant Prairie, and same as, you know, and all the, where are you guys, where do you live?
I live in River Oaks. I think, do you live in that neighborhood too? Yeah, I was going to say.
So that's Pleasant Prairie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live in Kenosha.
Kenosha, yeah, so that's owned by the city. So those buildings, no. County-owned buildings would be like Brookside, the Brookside Care Center, the courthouse, the municipal building, or the this building. All the buildings, how many? There's hundreds of them. What do you can see what they consider. Facilities, all the different shelters in the county parks, and we've got numerous county parks, and the golf courses, the clubhouses, everything. So, the Pringle Nature Center. So, we will have spending items that are needed for those. We'll have, you know, idea, you know, different things, and so many things. So it's very nice to have you here, and we'll move on. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth, and governors. Mr. Rudy gave me a new listing here for our address. I don't have a whole lot else tonight. So if you address for public works has changed, there's a new mailbox in front of the building. The P.O. box number is gone, and we're now 19,600 75th Street, Suite 122-1, Bristol, Wisconsin, 53104. I don't think we've needed to know our address, but no. Okay?
I think we skipped approval of minutes.
I'll go back to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Next meeting that we'll have, and you guys probably want to pay attention, is going to be our July committee meeting at the Pringle Nature Center. I don't know if you're familiar where that is.
No, I'm not.
Highway C, if you're coming out of Kenosha, to MB. MB South. Pringle Nature Center is about a quarter to a half mile. Yeah. South of C.
Okay. And what day is that?
That'll be the first Monday of July.
That'll be the first during the week of the 4th. Did you want to do it then? Or, you know, Vicki asked about that.
Okay.
Because it's, the 4th falls on what, Thursday?
Okay.
4th is on Thursday, yeah.
She didn't
Monday,
know if you
the
1st. We're going to meet on the 1st, or if you wanted to meet on whatever that following Monday is. Because of the week of the 4th. The
1st is a Monday.
Yeah.
I think we'll meet that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be a screwed up week anyway. Get that over with. So, does the youth and governance get a notice of the meetings?
I got a notice of this meeting, so.
Okay. So just make a note of that.
Okay.
And it'll be at 6:30.
Okay.
And what that is one of our county parks, and we have a volunteer group that runs it as a nature center. So, out of courtesy and for them to show us what they're doing, we meet there at least once a year.
Okay.
Doug?
Do you know about the meeting on Thursday? Have you been advised of that one?
This Thursday? I have not. I have finals this week with high school, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to even make that.
We do have a special meeting on Thursday, which is a joint meeting with this committee and the Planning and Development Committee.
Okay.
So you gentlemen are invited, but you know there's not necessary attendance for that. And that is in this building. 6 o'clock Thursday. What room? I can't remember. So it'll be right next to this room.
Okay. Okay. And 6 o'clock you said?
6 o'clock Thursday.
You might want to tell them what's on YouTube.
Yeah, what's on the agenda is the bike trails. It's a long-term plan for bike trails for Kenosha County.
Okay.
So, approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Did everyone receive their minutes? If so, are there any additions, corrections, or could I have a motion?
Approved.
Moved to approve by Supervisor Nudo.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Noble. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Now, you guys didn't probably, did you receive the minutes?
That was the May 6th meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, even though you weren't here, I'm still going to ask for your approval. Okay. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we have a, through the governor says aye. Thank you. Any other committee members' comments this evening? If not, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Seeing no citizens in attendance, we'll move on to golf. Now, Dan, I did introduce, I believe, everybody. So this is Dan Dreyer, our man in charge of the two golf courses. And we'll go from there.
Obviously, with the weather, we're behind in sales, both in rounds and revenue this year. I've created a golf rounds spreadsheet for you guys. It does show that we're almost 3,200 rounds behind at Pets and 3,400 rounds behind at Brightondale for a total of 6,600 rounds, basically, that we're behind. It does show also, though, that we are ahead of 2011 at Petrifying Springs and about even with 2011 at Brightondale. So, you know, I'm still encouraged. I think that we have a lot of good advertising out there. I think that we have a really good message. We have positive momentum. So I think that there's room to grow. If you look at especially October, you know, there's room that we can build a lot on that month, 2,500 rounds, and other months. There's areas that we can, you know, even if we match last year, I think we'll be doing real well. On the back side of that report, there is the temperature. It's average temperature highs and lows, and the rainfall is below that, and you'll see. I mean, in March, you know, I guess it was more snow, but it was 9.28 inches of snow, and April was 8 or almost 9 inches of rain, you know, compared to the other months. And then just the temperatures, you know, being so much lower, you know, it just definitely shows why, you know, we're down in rounds. So that's that. Food and beverage staff is definitely receiving good compliments on our products that we're putting out there. This was before this last Friday. We served 413. We also had 67 at Petrifying Springs and 38 at Brightondale. So another 115 onto that. So 500 and almost 30 fish fries that we've sold so far this year. So fish fries are going well. The golf courses are in very good shape. Everybody has been complimenting us again on the conditions of the golf courses. The highway department completed the paving project in the maintenance shop yard, which looks great. Really was a big improvement. Now we're not worried about the mowers going out and banging the blades as they go, you know, they can go any direction, you know, on the golf courses. They don't have to go around roundabout way to get out because the pavement was all broke up. So that's really good. Then we also did a small dry storage garage at Petrifying Springs that the roofing was done over there. The calendar of events is updated on the websites. We've been sending out weekly blasts to about 9,300 people in our database. The next big initiative is golf clinics and instruction. We have a growing junior program, and the junior program is going to be Wednesday mornings at Brightondale, and then Wednesdays and Thursday evenings at Petrifying Springs, and I will be teaching those with some of my staff. So we're looking forward to another great year with the junior program. And then the Spring Scramble, we had 69 players play in the tournament on Saturday, May 4th. Even though the weather wasn't the best, we had a good time. Everybody had fun. The ladies on the 10th was totally washed out. We couldn't even play that day. And on the 5th, we had a demo day from Nike. We had the manufacturing rep come out with all of their products, and we sold well. We sold, I think, 3 drivers. We sold a set of irons. We sold a set of hybrids, a set of fairway woods, 3 sets of irons. So yeah, it was a good day to all about 25 people that came out. And so we're trying to schedule another one. And then the big other thing that we're working on right now is the air conditioning. We did have a pre-bid meeting last Friday on that. We had a walkthrough. We had 8 different contractors, I believe. 7 were there and 1 was there previously. So I think we'll have good bids on the project. We have about $69,000 in there for that project. It is, totally taking out the chillers, the cooling coils, taking out all the vertical piping and most of the horizontal piping, and I'm coming back with all new product. I'm getting rid of the R22, the old type of refrigerant, and bringing in a new type that's much less expensive to regenerate or recharge the systems. We did have an addendum that went out today, but hopefully we'll get some bids, and I believe we're opening the bids on Friday, and then by Monday we want to try and award the bids, but they're still saying it's going to be 6 weeks before we get air out there, because the chillers are 5 weeks to order them, and then another week to install them. So we're going to try and get all the prep work done, everything done up to the week that they do get delivered, and then hopefully within a week we'll have air. So we're talking about the possibility of taking out some small window or something like that in the clubhouse and putting some temporary air in, but we'll have to take a look at how much that's going to be. So that's a big number.
So Dan, when you go into a residential, a lot of times there's leakage, and you say, well, we can try to charge this, and it might last for a week or two. And I've actually done that on a rental house that I have. I mean, is there that option at all?
Well, we've charged it last summer,
right?
And it was $4,000 just to charge it,
right.
And then it leaked out all over the winter. And that old refrigerant is not going to be good for anybody else. And when I looked at the specs and the first estimate that we had when we just had a contractor come in and look at it, there's way too many leaks to patch to charge this current system.
So we could suffer on the fish fries.
You
probably won't suffer so much on the golf rounds, but we could suffer on somebody comfortably wanting to eat there.
Yeah, we had like that warm day last week, Tuesday, I believe it was. We had a leak that stuck around, and they were came up to me and said that they were real happy that they were gonna, buy food and stick around afterwards and utilize the facility instead of going someplace else, which was great. But then they said that they came in, had a sandwich, and they said it was just too hot. We gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
So it was 82 or so in the clubhouse that they left. So. It is definitely going to affect the food beverage purchases and possibly the golf too. I can't. Just if it's really hot and they have no place to cool down, they might not come.
There's no one able to think on their feet anymore for people in the room. Anybody in business like I am, people aren't keeping inventory anymore since the economy has done what it did. Probably. 7 years ago, we could have this done this week, but people just don't keep things in stock. It's financially not viable for them. So now we're looking at just with me. If I I'm doing a brick patio, and the customer says on a Saturday, that's what I want. I can't get that anymore on a Monday. You know, I used to be able to get it on a Monday. And I know that's probably what we're going through with the facilities like that. Anything else, Dan? Any questions?
Yeah, Dennis, it probably was already told to us. I don't know if I had missed the meeting or some reason. I don't recall, but what was the results of all the RFPs we sent out last year so that we could sell alcohol? What happened? Where are we with that?
We had only one respondent for the RFP, and their qualifications, their past experiences were from 91 and 92, and we didn't feel that they were qualified to our committee that was evaluating the RFP, didn't feel that, that vendor was qualified to do this, and so we turned them down.
Thank you.
And that was the only one that responded.
Anything else for Dan? Yes, Gabe.
This is a good question. Rounds of golf. What's considered a round of golf? 9 holes or 18?
It's a start. If you come out and play 9, you're 1 round. If I come out and play 18, I'm 1 round. It's just a start. It's whoever, the different amount of people that come at different times as a start. Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with the number of holes. It's more the different people that come to the course.
Anything else for Dan? Yes, sir.
I'm just kind of curious, like, what role do the golf courses have as part of the county? Like, is that a big source of funding, or like, what is the role?
Initially, years ago, they were developed as a way for the average person to be able to afford to play golf. When there was just the country clubs and people that could afford a country club, counties and cities developed municipal and county golf courses. And it was supposed to be an affordable way, not a huge profit maker for the county, and we've proved that in recent years. Now, Kenosha County, all over history, has made money and has been profitable. When there was an economic downturn and a downturn in golf, say 10 years ago, we took a hit and we had, I think, 8 years of losses. The last 2 to 3, Mr. Dreyer has come on and we've turned our county golf course around. In fact, last year we made a profit. But what the taxpayers want is for, say, the county to offer something. We offer county parks. And you have a couple of beaches, you do pay on a weekend. If you're a county resident, you can have a yearly pass and things. County golf course, the same thing. The average taxpayer, like, say, my neighbor that doesn't golf, doesn't want to subsidize a golf course. So what we look for is a way to make a profit, at least pay for it, but offer a reasonable fee for a resident or non-resident to play golf. So it's a very nice thing that we offer the taxpayer, but we don't want to make a huge profit and we don't want it to cost the other taxpayer. So that's the role. Something similar to the beaches.
Okay, thank you.
If I can just add,
Dan?
Basically, it's a quality of life amenity for people that live here or reasons for them to move or businesses to move into this area. You know, it promotes, you know, the healthy lifestyle in Kenosha County.
Okay.
Doug?
Questions regarding marketing. I've been getting an email from something called Golf 18 or something like that, and I don't know that have you ever gotten involved in that one. It sounds like they feature 5 golf courses in the area.
Yes, we are involved with Golf 18. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And then another thing I heard, and I may have this wrong, but it sounded like on the radio, 2 golf courses. One was Rivermore and Waterford and some other one. It sounded like they partnered up and they probably paid together for the advertising spot. And you basically got 2 rounds of golf for, I'm going to say, for the price of one at each place. So in other words, you could play Rivermore and let's say the other one was Mosquito Lake. I don't remember who it was. So that sounded like a novel idea if you ever wanted to consider partnering up with a, with another golf course. It doesn't even, I think Rivermore is a private course. I mean, it's open to the public, but it's not county owned or municipal owned. I thought that sounded, if I understood it right, it sounded like a kind of a nice concept that you might want to consider.
Okay.
I heard that advertisement that's on WRJN, but the one you're talking about.
Yeah. It sounded like they were partnering up two different totally unrelated golf courses.
You're paying half of what really the cost is. It's a good deal.
It sounded good, yeah.
We have a lot of two-for-one offers out there. The entertainment coupon, we have cards with Bradford and Tremper High School. We have different with the green card. There's Enjoy the City of Milwaukee. All of them have two-for-one green fees, cart rental required. So if you and I go, we basically cut our green fee in half, but we both have to rent the cart. So we do have a lot of those offers out there, but not with another golf course. So I can look into that.
In fact, the owner of, he's a total owner and part owner of Rivermore, happens to be a county supervisor and received.
Anything else for Dan? With that, we'll move on to facilities. Ron, you're going to handle.
Update on the 60th Street Tower. I, Frank, received an email from Ray, and pretty much the city has completed their appraisal and submitted it to the DNR. And hopefully the DNR and the National Park Service will do their reviews and assessments, and they hope to have them complete by the end of June.
So Peter and John will explain this one. We have, I think it's three towers that the county owns. And what the towers do is give police, fire, rescue. It's for the what do you call it, 911? So one of them is on 60th Street, and it is near some commons, it's called there. We used to have a highway department garage there. By L&M Meats. You know what that is. I think. But that tower was deemed to be in structural deficit as far as for ice that might build on it in the winter and things. So we started looking into it and looking into it with the city. We need to replace that tower. So what it includes is the city's fire rescue, the county's dispatching and things. There's another tower here. There's another tower out in Silver Lake. This one needs replacement, so we've been looking into replacing it. We ran into some trouble with the city because the piece of land that we wanted to put it on, and the city agreed to put it on, was at one point partially funded by a national, not just the state, parks. So when you do that, when you accept money for any grant, you agree that that park land is only going to be used for that. Then you need an agreement back from them if you go to do something like this. So they're all okay with it. It just takes a lot of time for paperwork. They're fine. It's public safety. We need this tower. City, they need a tower, but we're just working on it. We've been working on it for about a year now.
Wow.
And we're hoping by the next ice season, which will be this fall, we've got this done, and that's what Ron was just explaining, that we're getting close. But if you go down 60th Street, it's between
by the water tank.
31 and the firehouse there. You'll see the tower, and that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Where the Little League ball fields used to be.
That really tall one?
Yeah.
Is that by the CYC fields? Not CYC.
NASCAR?
Oh, yeah, it's by Indian Trail. I can see that from our school. Okay, yeah.
So, Ron, see, what I'm explaining to these guys, I'll probably interrupt you on these, just so they know what we're talking about.
So, is that tower completely unoperational, or is it?
Oh, no. Okay. We're still using it. It's fine this summer, but we're wanting to get that thing, and we're moving it to Nash Park.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So you'll hear reports on that.
Okay.
All right, man.
And being optimistic, Ray feels that we may be able to start construction in July.
Right. Last September, we're going to dig a hole for that.
Government.
And update on the parking lot. We're open for business. There have been a couple of small glitches, mostly to do with the scanning of the credit cards. It's not an equipment problem. There seems to be a communication problem between the software from the gate operator and the way the county has their network set up. We finally identified the problem. They did put a temporary solution together, and we're going to monitor it this week. If it works, then they'll make it a permanent solution to the problem. Okay. Other than that, it's gone pretty smooth.
I'll explain that one too, so that you guys will know. This will be on the agenda. A lot of times these things are repeated month after month because they're ongoing. So this park and ride structure is a indoor and outdoor parking structure that the county built along with the states near the courthouse and the metro station. So our jurors, our county employees, people, everyone utilizes this. And we have been in business there, but we haven't been in business and able to collect money for certain aspects of it because of the gating. And the, where you slide your credit card in. Got to go, when you accept money from the state, it's sometimes like accepting money from the devil because when we do a project on our own, we usually complete these things much quicker. So since they were involved, we had to go through a lot of their systems. And one of them was the banking system. The last thing that's held us up is this actual credit card thing with the banks and things, but now we're... So when you go, if you're on jury duty or you go to a county meeting or something, this is a new parking facility to the north of the courthouse and the... it's north, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So simply just like paying to get into park, that's not working? Or
now it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a problem with the communication.
Oh, so
two different computer systems.
Right. Yeah. Well, you'll hear reports probably next month because Ron will report. Now everything's really cool. You know, now we're in decent
shape. After that. And
any questions for Ron on that one? Okay, Ron.
Update on the control project. Control project is probably 3/4 of the way completed. We're waiting for, we've got to do some retrofit on the DAV boxes for the heat and air conditioning system. We've got the parts ordered. Again, it was a 5 to 6 week delivery time. We're anticipating they'll be in this week. If not, the parts will be in next week. And then it's going to probably be a 2 month project to get everything installed. Everything's up above the secure ceiling. It's going to be we're going to do that in-house with our people, our new HVAC tech and the guys that are working maintenance out there.
So this, Peter and John, is a project we've been working on. It's the Kenosha County Detention Center, our house of detentions out on Highway H. It's, we have the jail downtown, but this is the detention center, and this is a heating, air conditioning system that we've been working on. Yes, Doug?
Well, this one doesn't have state or federal government money involved. How, it's really just going in a snail's pace. What's the holdup?
The changeover to this new digital control system required pulling all new wire and putting all new controls in, so it was real labor intensive. When they got halfway into the project, we found out 44 of the VAV boxes were not working, and we had to see if either we were going to go out for bids for a company to come in and replace them, and it was decided we should just wait until we get our HVAC tech on board, and once he started, we ordered the parts and we're going to do the upgrade, and then they'll be able to finish the project.
So he's taken, this new HVAC person is sort of now under the wings, and he's sort of taking charge.
Yeah, and what he's going to do is when the parts come in, he's going to take the maintenance guys at the detention center, show them how to replace these boxes so they can all work on it together. And when he's called away to do other things, we'll still be able to make some progress.
Anything else for Ron on that? The next one, I think I'll do it before. I'll explain before. The Yule House is a kind of a historical old mansion. I think it's, is that on 3rd Avenue? 5th. Yule House.
3rd. Sorry, I didn't.
Where? It's on 3rd Avenue,
it's
right?
It's on 3rd, yes.
Near the Kemper Center. And the Historical Society operated out there for out of it for a while. The Corporation Council then, the Corporation Council is the legal team for the county. They had their offices in there for a while, and it's a big old house, nice looking joint. When the Historical Society had it, there was an addition put on that was a lot more municipal looking, like a school addition. That cheapened actually the building. So since we have no one in there now, what we've been looking at is selling the property, and so that is what Ron's reporting on now.
Unfortunately, I don't have a report on that. Carol O'Neill has been out of work after having some foot surgery, and she's the one that was handling that. So
right.
I don't have.
And Bernie called me today, and he told me that. So. That's
so, are you looking at removing that addition before you're trying to sell it?
Well, a buyer would more than likely. I mean, a healthy buyer would want to because it's a beautiful building, mm-hmm. You know. But yes, so I mean, that would be. We're not looking at doing it.
Okay.
Looking at selling it as is, and since we are a municipality, we could, but you know, there's some political pressure that says, okay, we want this process, and they want to have everybody included, every realtor in the state, city, and so our purchasing people have been working on that. So it takes longer. It's not like you can just call a realtor, and, mm-hmm. and we're that's where we're at.
Yes,
right. Yes, Gabe.
Is there any way we can kind of split it up? This has been going on for about a year now. Ridiculous.
Well, we could have sped it up if people didn't want everybody in the world involved. But now that we had to go through this purchasing department, so yeah, that's the way it is.
So you don't have like a designated like realtor for the county?
No.
Okay. That would probably be a good idea. It's like having to...
Well, realtors insisted. Gabe, you were the one that insisted that we give it out to everybody.
No. I was not the one to insist on that. We can go through the minutes. I said to could have been offered whatever. Then whoever did it, this was done about 3-4 months ago. The last time was that the realtors could not get in to look at the house. Okay, so I mean, this process should have been done. I was the one pushing it for over a year, trying to sell it.
Right.
It should not take this long, regardless.
But once we involved. Once we involved the process that you wanted, Gabe.
I don't say me. I mean, I was part of it. Being on the committee, I was part of it, but it was not my idea to
right.
have an RFP or whatever.
You wanted it
to bring it up.
You wanted it to be sold, but you also wanted.
Sold.
But you also didn't want them to be able to just choose through realtors. You wanted it opened up, and now that we've had to do that, Carol O'Neill's been sick, and she's our purchasing person.
Sure.
Right.
We can go back at the minutes. I was not the one that said to have an RFP.
Okay.
That part was not me, which, again, is part of the committee. That's what we decided. Mm-hmm. But that's being said. Now it's been, we said to go on RFP. I think it's been about the minimum. I would say about 4-5 months ago.
No.
4 months ago for sure.
Well, it's going to be longer because Carol's out.
So, I don't know if we can do something.
For how long, Brad? She's out for?
I don't know.
A couple more weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
At least 2 more weeks.
At least a couple more weeks she's out.
So.
She had some surgery. So that's the report. Kenosha County Administration Building, critical facade and roof survey. Before Ron starts that, I'll explain that one too. 2 years ago, we did a complete survey and then construction on the courthouse, which is a historical building. That is limestone, you know, big facade of limestone. They go around with an actual hammer and pick, and they check every stone. That was a $5 million project that was completed. The building where we hold the county board meetings and where many of the county offices are is the administration building, which is just adjacent to that. And we now have started a survey of that building, which again is the facade, which is brick and stone, and the roof, and there's substantial flooding in the basement area. City of Kenosha is doing 56th Street, which is right in front of that, and then the street going down, which I don't know. We passed last month the county board to go ahead and do that basement work, the waterproofing, because when the city digs that up, it's very prudent to do that work at that time instead of redoing the streets twice. So now what this report is going to be on is the critical facade and the roof survey. The critical facade is all the outside work. And the first estimates we got were, I believe, like $2.4 million for the whole project. So that's what Ron's going to report on now.
The walkthrough to inspect the outside of the building has been complete. We just don't have the report back yet. That also includes not only the outside of the building, but any equipment upgrades that have to be done on the inside of the building. So we're still waiting for the engineer to get back to that information. Hopefully by the next meeting, we should have something back. But we do have, because the waterproofing was moved ahead, I've got a timeline for that. And the final specs are going to be handed over to purchasing before June 10th. It'll be advertised on June 14th. There'll be a pre-bid walkthrough on June 19th. The bids are due on June 28th. And the bid will be awarded on July 11th. And with construction to start on or about August 5th. And that will be for the waterproofing all the way around the building.
Yep.
Just so that, you know, I don't know if you know what building we're talking about, but it's the building that you were in.
Oh, was it the one for the youth and government?
Where the county chambers
are. Okay,
yeah.
If you ever saw the basement, and I haven't, I just saw pictures, but it leaks like a sewer. It's a beautiful building, but it's not that great of a building.
Okay.
That's why it's going to cost $2.4 million to get it to
the it's a lot of money.
Anything else for Ron? If not, thank you, Ron. Very good report. We will move on to parks.
Have a nice night.
Thanks, Ron.
I didn't receive any financials from the Pernell Nature Center, but there are quite a few Eagle Scout projects going on out there. One Eagle Scout just completed new trail markers that were needed desperately, and they look very nice. I attached a picture of the scout doing that.
That's at Pringle?
It's at Pringle, at Bristol Woods, yeah. And they've got three more in the works. One is an orienteering course, and another, an elevated platform by one of the ponds in the woods for instruction. And they're actually, they have another one who I just met with here last Friday that's going to be building a stage. I call it their little amphitheater. They've got a little fire pit with some benches on the hillside, and they're putting a stage down in there for teaching and showing movies and other nature things. At Kemper Center, I've got We've got some roofs being repaired or replaced down there. The chapel roof is the largest one, and that was all shingled, and what they were doing was tying the flashing into the coping stone on it, and that was still going on in between rainstorms last week, and they're hoping that they can be finished completely down there by the 15th of June. One other note on Kemper is that when we had the big storm in 2011, they had a lot of folks that stepped up and donated money for replacement trees and things of that nature, and the county and Kemper Center went together and are having a plaque made, and we have one of the monster stumps down there from one of the trees that the plaque's going to be mounted on. And they're planning a dedication or memorial of that storm on June 30th, on the anniversary of it. And I don't have the particulars on what they're planning, but we'll share as soon as we have it. But it does thank the Highway and Parks Committee and the County Board and everyone for their assistance and help.
Will they have snacks? Will they have snacks?
I'm hoping so.
Okay.
We'll see. Petrifying Springs, a couple weeks ago, the contractor was out and stained the concrete on the bridge.
That's pretty.
To match the bridge down on the east end of the park. And he did a spot-on job. I know Supervisor Dodge saw it out there. He matched that very close. He was going to replace some of the native vegetation that was washed out by that flood this spring, but it was too wet, and he was going to try and get to it this week. I don't know if he's going to make it or not, but I hope so. The other thing at Petrifying Springs, we did finally install the doggy drinking fountain up by the Carlisle Dog Park, and that's actually, it's got a fountain way down on the bottom with a button up on top. And it has like a restrictor and a drain, so it holds, it lets water seep out slowly so you can fill it so your dog can get a drink.
That's really cool.
And that's all paid for by monies we collect for dog park fees and maintain the same. And it does have a park for people to be able to drink too, not just dogs. One other thing I did have on here that I wanted to mention was a dedication for the bridge roadway project on Saturday. Supervisor Dodge was there and some of the other county board supervisors. A lot of folks from the DNR, Representative Kirkman, Peter Barca was there. Pretty good attendance. Ray Arbor showed up and gave away hot dogs and soda pop, and it was a nice little function.
Donuts.
A lot of us work, so we couldn't be there.
Yeah, I figured that's what we were doing. The summer, next thing is the Emerald Ash Borer. I think everybody probably saw, I think it was Sunday's paper, that had it on the front page that Emerald Ash Borer was found in Salem Township. Well, that was actually Fox River Park. Our West End foreman, Nick Murphy, found it. It's an ash tree showing the classic symptoms where the whole top is dead, and there's just green branches down on the bottom, and the woodpeckers are ripping the heck out of the bark, trying to get the bugs as they emerge and they're in their flying state so they can move right now. We cut it down. Of course, our duty is to notify the state, but then, of course, they put the article in the paper, so which is okay. But I did, everybody, Supervisor Alderman knew about it. I gave him a call right away, so he was aware of what was going on. The wood from that tree we took to Katie Park. You can keep the firewood in your local area and give it to people, but you have to guarantee it stays here and doesn't leave the quarantine area. And since we can't do that, we stack the wood and it sits 2 years, and then the public will be able to get it. Once it ages for 2 years, all of the Emerald Ash Borer have emerged out of it, and it's safe to let someone else have it. So we figure it's just better to stack it and wait than risk having it transported out of the quarantine area. We did get a grant from the DNR to do an Emerald Ash Borer management plan for our two oldest parks and two county golf courses. And we've got four submissions, and we did select one. and the purchasing division was in the process of awarding that. It came, you know, we weren't sure how much this whole process was going to be for them to inventory all the ash trees, evaluate their condition, write a reforestation plan, and then write a five-year management plan to remove trees or treat trees depending on their value. And it came in that we could do all four, and it came in just a little bit under $25,000, which was the maximum we could go. So that will be getting done, which is a good thing, though it will be the golf courses are included. And we already know it's that Dan has Emerald Ash Borer up at Brightondale already. So, but I don't think he has a lot of ash trees, but he has enough of them. Events coming up, we have our movie night starting at Silver Lake Park on June 14th. We have the Derriere bike ride, which is the same to ride out to the Kenosha County Dairy Breakfast and ride back, which is sponsored by the county executive. And then on June 22nd, 23rd, we have the Revolutionary War Living History reenactment again at Fox River Park.
John, when's the Dairy Breakfast? The Dairy Breakfast, when is that?
The 15th.
The 15th,
yep. That bike ride starts at Mars Cheese Castle, goes out to Yulin, Hakes, Landlocked Acres, and then rides back, and they will have the sheriff, because I think it's N doesn't have much for shoulders that they're going to be riding on, so the sheriff will be kind of escorting the group.
So, and the reenactors is always a big event. That's nice. The reenactors, that's always a nice event.
It is. That's always very nice. We actually let them shoot cannons and guns and stuff in the park, so. Which is blanks.
Anything else, John?
No.
Yeah. Questions, Peter?
With the movie nights, what is that? I haven't heard anything about that. Is that like a youth initiative, or is that more of a?
It's just an outdoor movie in the park.
Okay. I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, we've been doing that for
4 or 5 years.
4 years now, and we just have our own portable player and speakers, and we charge $5, and you get popcorn and soda and everything with your $5. Bring your lawn chair and your bug spray and come on out.
Is that online as far as what movie and stuff will
be? Yeah, it'll be on, if you go to Kenosha County Parks website and look under events. I can't tell you off the top of my head which movie it is right now, but it is listed.
It's generally a kid's movie though, right?
It's a good time. It's fun.
Okay.
But I mean, is it usually a kid's movie?
Yeah, it's usually.
Okay.
Yeah, for the younger folks.
Okay.
Good family-oriented fun.
Okay, thank you.
Rick? We were going to do some erosion control out there by the dog park, by the bridge. Was that completed, or? At least I thought that was what you were going to do.
I know what you're talking about. Right there by lot one?
Yeah.
I just, Saturday, when R.A. Smith consultants came out, because they were involved in that project, they also did the engineering for that work, and they handed me the preliminary drawings on Saturday. And I just looked at them today, and I got to give them a call back, but we're going to get that out to bid, hopefully here, and that project should be done by September if everything goes right.
Okay.
So.
Anything else for John? If not, Mr. Sisma is at the highway conference, I believe. We will ask for an adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Youth and governance?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Now, don't expect this to be an hour meeting.
No, I didn't know that Thursday meeting was.
We'll be there around 2. Hour and a half to 2.
Okay. I didn't know that Thursday meeting wasn't required for them. I didn't know that.
I have no idea.
Okay. They this come up this one of the easiest ones.
Because they got a big thing with attendance.
Am I like, still talk about this stuff now? Is that okay?
If anybody will listen.
Okay.
check with Mike's
go ahead.
That Thursday meeting attendance requirement.
Okay.
Do you have a...